All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we're really looking forward to continuing in your word today, working on the armor that you supply for us. We know that, Lord, you are the armor. You really are the truth. You're the one that gives us our righteousness. You guide our paths. You shod our feet. You do everything for us. Lord, we're so grateful. Amen. So here's a review. A couple weeks ago, we were at Stand Firm Then with the Belt of Truth buckled around your waist. And we've got pictures. This is kind of what the belt would look like for a Roman soldier. Have some things hanging down here for protection, and then there's ways to attach things to the belt. That was what really kind of held a lot of the armor together. The belt also took some of the weight off of the heavy the breastplate. Yeah. So if you had the breastplate just kind of weighing you down, the belt would help reinforce that. It's like if you ever have a good quality backpack, not everything needs to be on your shoulders and on your back. It's nice to kind of find a way to get that, to feel not as heavy as it is, just by properly placing it. So the breastplate of righteousness in place, breastplate protects the heart and vital organs. It was custom made to fit each person, each man, with metal and rings, could move easily. And it protected soldiers from arrows, knives, spears, and swords, that kind of thing. So that's one of the pieces. It looks kind of cumbersome. Some of them I've seen look like the old knights where you'd always go, oh, no, but this was more flexible the way they built them. And then what we're going to get to today is the shoes, and stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. Shoes of the gospel peace. Gospel of peace, or is kind of, a lot of people think it's shoes of the gospel of peace. I see it more as shoes of readiness, the way that it's worded, fitted with the readiness. And yes, it comes from the gospel, it comes from the gospel of peace, but it's really, the shoes are for the readiness. And the shoes protected the soldiers' feet. One of the things that the enemies tried to do when they knew that an army was coming to attack them, they would put sharp sticks and things in the path along the way. Like instead of a minefield, you have all these sharp stick fields. And if they could puncture people's feet as they're marching towards you, it kind of slows them down. So they had to have good shoes, and that's something that the Romans and whatnot, they were really good at having good footwear, and it helped them in their battles, and they could kind of take over the world because they knew how to make shoes. Kind of an important thing. They were made from leather, and sometimes other metal pieces would be in it as well. There were nails in the bottom, kind of like we have to have around here when it gets really icy. You got to have your micro spikes, right? Well, they would have nails in the bottom, and they were kind of designed too, so you couldn't go backwards too much either. I think that people that made these shoes wanted them to only advance and never retreat. One of those things. Over on the right here, those are called greaves, G-R-E-A-V-E-S, and they were for the shins, and kind of, when I played soccer, we didn't call them greaves, we called them shin guards. They were very useful, because if you're getting punched or kicked or whatever, it's awful nice to have a little bit of cushioning there. That can be a very vulnerable part, and if you're marching through some terrain that has a lot of brush and stickers and thorns and things like that, it's nice to have some protection there on your legs too. If you think about it, I mean, whatever footwear you have is going to either make or break your day. Oftentimes, wrong footwear can really ruin you. I've gone on a hike when my socks weren't quite right, and you come back with flaming blisters, and it hurts. I don't know, you ever been out on the fire line when they're doing the wildland fires, and EMTs pretty much, what's one of their things they have to do an awful lot of is work with guys' feet. It's not one of their favorite jobs from what I hear. Smelly feet that have started oozing and pussing and doing all this stuff. And it's like, if you don't have the right footwear and you're not in physical, your feet aren't in physical conditioning, because like if you're going to try to take off on a really long hike, a good idea to do some short hikes along the way with the shoes you're going to wear, test them out, break them in, break in your feet. So that's the thing, that readiness is really kind of important. Are we ready to use the footwear that we have? And if you're not ready, you kind of need to take it slow and get ready, right? It's a preparation. It's not something that just happens because you went online and you found out that, oh, you know, I've been reading about the PCT hikers and their favorite shoe is Merrell or Salomon or whatever. And so, you know, you just buy the right shoe and you'll be able to go and do it. Well, that's part of it. But if your feet aren't ready too, and if it's not fitted properly, so they've got to be fitted to you. I've worn shoes that are too small. That hurts. Mm-hmm. I've worn shoes that are too big. Feet slide around in there, more prone to blisters. Feet and shoes really need to be fitted together properly. So this is today's passage, Ephesians 6:15, and we're going to talk about readiness shoes. You ready for that? With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Thank you, Lord. And the text that's in is just before that, verses 11 to 14. You can kind of see it's talking about taking a stand. Again, if you don't have proper footwear, you're not going to be able to stand too much. It's going to create problems for you. The whole purpose of putting on the armor of God is so that we can take our stand. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and darkness and all of that evil forces. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, putting on all of this armor. So that whole concept of standing is really key in all of the verses that come before this verse about shoes. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. He'll make your path straight. Well, what good is a path if you don't use your feet to go along the path? We're walking with God. This whole concept of walking. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. So what do you do with your feet? You take your feet and you walk along the ways of God, the path of God. And His word is what's going to light you up there and get you prepared for that. Isaiah talks about how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Now, good news is another way to say the gospel. So in Ephesians, it's talking about the gospel of peace is what helps us with the readiness. And it's beautiful to have feet that bring good news, that proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, another thing to talk about, salvation, gospel, it's kind of all those together, which say to Zion, your God reigns. And the next part of this is fitted with the readiness. So if your feet aren't shod or fitted properly with readiness, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, then it's like, okay, I got the best shoes. They're over there in the closet. Or I got wonderful shoes. I've just never worn them before. I hope they work. You know, none of that's going to make sense. But the readiness, being prepared. Readiness for what? Well, when I played soccer, depending on what kind of turf we had, we'd wear different cleats. And sometimes you'd want a short cleat, and sometimes you'd want a longer cleat. You could unscrew those cleats and screw them back in if you were poor like me, or some people would have more than one pair of cleats, you know, where they could just go swap their shoes out. Because if you're running around and this field is in terrible shape and you're sliding everywhere you go, you want to get more traction. Of course, you also have to be careful you're following the rules, because the referees would have you stand there, put your feet up, and they would check your cleats to make sure that they weren't baseball cleats. Some people would think that'd be a good idea, because they're multi-sports, right? running around fighting. If you've seen baseball cleats, more pokey, like nails, and they slide into somebody, and you know, be very painful. But in soccer, you don't want that because you've got 22 guys out on the field running around, and only one official most of the time where we were. Sometimes you'd have two, but they couldn't possibly keep track of everybody and what they're doing with their shoes. And if you're stomping on somebody's foot and you've got baseball cleats, that's going to hurt somebody pretty badly. So, you know, the right shoes, right readiness. Now, those soccer cleats would have been useless if I was trying to play basketball. Like basketball, you have to have the right kind of shoe for basketball, right? It's a different kind of shoe, totally. Different reason, different purpose. You have to get traction. If you had your cleats on, you'd be sliding around on the court and falling over. What if you want to start climbing mountains? Different kind of cleat again, right? Different kind of shoe. You're going to want to make sure that you've got the right kind of footwear to get you where you need to go. If you're going through a big snowstorm, big guy like me, 4 foot snow underneath, you need some snowshoes that are going to keep you above that, so you're not sneaking in to your waist every single step. I've done that back in Maine. It's kind of okay. It takes a long time to get somewhere when you keep having to try to climb out and get back on top of the snow again. It takes a while. So readiness, it's like, okay, we need to know what's coming, and that's where the verse talks about we're going to be ready with putting on the armor of God so we can fight against the schemes of the devil, the enemy's schemes. Okay, if we know what kind of battle we're going into, if we know what kind of problems we're going to have, we'll get the right kind of footwear. The footwear we need is footwear that comes from the gospel of peace. And our readiness is practicing and practicing with that gospel. Do we live the gospel? Do we walk with the gospel? Are we gospel people, good news people? Are we peaceful people? All of those things. So prepared for what? 1 Corinthians 16 says, be on your guard. There's that stand again. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. It's like love and peace are kind of going to go together a lot, aren't they? Gospel and love. Good news and love. All of those things are hand in glove. They go together really well. 2 Timothy 4, here's Pastor Paul talking to young Pastor Timothy. He's telling Timothy, preach the word. Okay? And then be prepared in season and out of season. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter what phase of life you're going through. Be prepared for what? Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction. Be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. It's the way it's phrased in 1 Peter. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared, readiness, preparation, to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, why would anybody ask you, why do you have such hope? Unless they see it in your life. So the preparation, the readiness is you're living a life that's demonstrating hope. You're living a life that's demonstrating peace when it doesn't make sense to have peace. You're living a life that says, I've got something that you probably want. So when people ask, okay, well, why is it that you can be so hopeful when I look around and I don't see any reason for hope, and you're ready, you have an answer for it. That's the gospel, the good news. It's like the Prince of Peace came down and he's covered all of our sins and he's taken care of us, and we can have eternal life with him. So this little short time that we're going through struggles and trials, not that big a deal. So my back hurts today. It's probably not going to hurt next month. I know it won't hurt in heaven. That kind of thing. So always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. Ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And I think we've probably all encountered people that maybe have good intentions, and they're coming at you, and they're not living the life, and they don't really have... Nobody's asking them, hey, what's that that's different about you, worth this hope in you, they're coming through life like a bull in a china closet, and they're not respectful, and they're not gentle, and they're misrepresenting Jesus. And if we want to have feet that are ready and fitted with readiness, with the gospel of peace, there's kind of a weird juxtaposition here. It's like, put on your armor. It's like armor's for war, right? How many of you know very many soldiers, people that have served in the military? Most of the people, and I got the privilege of working on Fort Lewis for 6 years, got to know a lot of soldiers out there. Most all of them, there was very few that liked war or anything about war. Most all of them wanted to say, yeah, I'm a person of peace. The reason we train, the reason we do what we do is so that we can bring peace. It's not about lording it over others. It's not about giving people pain or discomfort or anything else. It's not about threatening others. Gentleness and respect. And the soldiers that I knew and spent time with had gentleness and respect. That was part of their training. Now, sometimes the training didn't feel gentle, and they would admit that. But when they started thinking about why we do what we do, they were all volunteers. It wasn't, I'm not so old that I was teaching school when there was still a draft, but they were volunteers. They chose to be in the military because they cared about peace. They cared about bringing protection to a nation that deserved protection. Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It's like, are you living a life that even when people decide they want to slander you, they kind of feel like, yeah, I kind of got them, but I feel bad about that because it's not really true. And so they feel ashamed of their slander, and they may even come back and apologize later. They might not. But live such a life that there's no reason for others to slander you. And well, sometimes as Christians, we can go off on people. We can be disrespectful. We can be the opposite of gentle. We can be aggressive. We can have all kinds of issues, and maybe even in the name of Jesus, and go out, you know, the silent majority that wasn't so silent for so many years, that kind of created us and them kind of mentality oftentimes with the world. It's like, you know, we're the ones that have it right, and we're going to force our religion and force our righteousness and our rightness on everybody else around us, and we're going to change all the laws and make everybody do what we want. Well, that's not gentleness and respect. That's not keeping a clear conscience. That's not the gospel of peace. I think the gospel of peace that we're talking about is, you know, we want people to recognize in us that there's something worth having there. And they'll ask, hey, what is that about you? And you say, well, you want to know about that hope in me? It's Jesus. And then we have an opportunity in season and out of season to give an answer. We're always prepared. We're always ready with those shoes that have been fitted to us. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from, okay, what's the source? The source of readiness. Philippians 4, just going back a couple chapters from today's text. I've learned the secret of being, it's going ahead. Ephesians 2 is going to be going back. Philippians 4 is going to a different book, sorry. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. As Paul talking to them about, you know, he's been poor, he's been rich, he's had, you know, plenty, he's had nothing. And he's content no matter what, because it doesn't matter. Your contentment, your peace doesn't come from external circumstances. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So the one that gives you strength is the Prince of Peace. So when you're fitted with readiness from the gospel of peace, it's from Jesus. Again, it's the one who gives you strength. Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups. He was talking at that time about Jews and Gentiles and how they just really didn't get along. And yet, through Jesus, they can become one group. He's made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Peace removes hostility. if we're fitted with the readiness from the gospel of peace, we're not going to be going into the world as hostiles. And we're not going to see them as hostiles. There's going to be a way to try to bring connectedness, to try to let them know that Jesus died for everyone, not just for me. And I'm not any better than anybody else that I want to talk to about this. Part of my readiness in sharing the gospel and sharing the peace of God with everyone else is I know that I don't deserve it, and yet He still loves me. He knows every one of my thoughts. He knows my heart, and He loves me anyway. And so what possible right would I have to look down on somebody else and think that somehow I've got something that's better than them? It's like, no, we're all in this together. That dividing wall has been broken down because of the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. James, little brother of Jesus, says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So that belt of truth kind of comes back in again, right? That's where everything's going to be tied around. Okay, maybe your shoes aren't connected to your belt, but they're both important. It's talking about the peace. It's talking about the truth. All of this comes together. Well, Jesus says, on the way, the truth, and the life. He's our truth. Last week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. This week is the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, Jesus is the gospel. He is the good news. There's no good news without Him. And He's our peace. It's all about Jesus. So when we're putting on the armor of God, you're saying, I'm in Christ. I'm in Jesus. I'm putting the life of Jesus on and taking off my old self. So let's talk a little teeny bit more about the gospel of peace. Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, those are four gospels. They're called the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John. They're all considered gospels because they give a narrative account of the life and the deeds of Jesus Christ. Jesus really is our gospel. He's our good news. Without Jesus, nothing else would make any sense. My life would be meaningless, worthless, useless without Jesus. All of Scripture, too, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, points us to Jesus, the Messiah. It's all about Him. So what about this peace? Well, in John 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. They couldn't always understand when they're in a boat and he's sleeping in the back and the storm's just going nuts around him and they're all thinking they're going to die. It's like, how could you be sleeping? Well, because I'm at peace. He finally gets up and says, hey, storm, be still. He's the prince that brings peace. He's the giver of peace. He can do it to the storm. He can do it to us, the storms in our lives. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. It's interesting that he says, I don't give it like the world does. And then the next thing is, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. What do we get from the world? When we look at the world, when we look at what's going on around us in the world, we get troubled. If you listen to the news long enough, you're not afraid when you start, but they're trying really hard to get you to be afraid of something. Even commercials. They want you to be afraid of something. Oh, I'm afraid that my skin's so bad that I better get this product so I can fix it. You know, whatever it is. It's like, I'm afraid that people aren't going to like me if I don't have a car that's as nice as this one or a truck that can pull airplanes or whatever. You know, we have to find a way, and whether it's global warming or, you know, the pandemic, whatever, a lot of the world's troubles and trials and problems that they keep bringing to us are trying to get us to be afraid or troubled. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to leave you with my peace. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to worry. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It's like, it doesn't make a bit of sense because, like, these are real problems, okay? You believe that the weather's changing? I mean, we've got friends in Texas. I talked to them this week. It was 0 degrees. They don't have a generator. Their power only went out a short time where they are, but their daughter's power, 100 miles away, went out, and it was 40 degrees inside the house when the daughter finally decides, we're getting out of here, we're going to go to Dad's. Dad and Mom got away to keep things warm, even when the power's on. Because Dad's an old farmer from Walla Walla. And he's got a chimney that was still good, but they had an electric insert in there, because just for the ambiance, in Texas, you don't need the heat, right? So he had this nice electric fireplace. He pulled the electric insert out of there, and they started lighting fires in the... Because even if the power is going to be out, it's not going to get cold at their house. They're going to find a way to make it work. Okay? Now, thankfully, today it's going to be over 60 down there. They're back into the normal zone. It'll be in the 70s in a couple days and then pop down to 50s maybe. But, you know, they're in good shape again. Their pipes didn't burst. Everything's working for them. But an awful lot of it's like, okay, the peace of God transcends all understanding. You're in the middle of Texas. It's 0 degrees. You know that your pipes are frozen, and as soon as it warms up, your next fear is, if I don't get that water turned off, we're going to get flooded. It's happening to a lot of people. It's like, how could you have peace through that? It's like, well, look at God. And yeah, this is a problem, and we'll get it figured out and worked out and whatever. I loved when, back in 2001, February of 2001, when the earthquake hit, the Nisqually earthquake, I was teaching school. And we dove under tables, and all the kids and I were just sitting there, and this quake went along for quite a while. It wasn't just a quick shake and then be done. It kept going for a while, and we just started singing songs to God. It's like, we're all fine. Now, they lost their peace when their parents showed up, all worried, because they had problems and troubles and trials of the world and the fear. And all that came to them when they saw the fear in their parents' eyes. It's like, oh, maybe there's something wrong. We need to cry. You know, whatever. These were fourth graders. The boys would never let you see them cry, but they would cry. The girls didn't care. They just let it out. Peace that transcends all understanding. It'll guard your hearts. It'll guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, so when we're putting on the armor of God, we're in Christ. And that peace that you have with you, it's like, it comes from hope in Christ. So people are going to see your life and they're going to say, hey, what is this peace that you have right now? It doesn't make sense. Where's this hope coming from? How can you say everything's going to be okay? Because you're in Christ. So your mind is guarded. Your heart's guarded. You don't have brokenness in that way. We're still broken before Christ. God says, broken in a contrite heart, he will not deny. He wants us to be broken before him so that we can be whole. Proverbs 3:17. It's in a section where wisdom has kind of been personified in this section of Proverbs, and it's going and talking a lot about wisdom. And just this one verse jumped out at me. Her wisdom's ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. There's a lot of wisdom that brings us peace. Now, if we have worldly wisdom, it might bring us troubles and fear. But having the peace from God, all her paths are peace. All of wisdom's paths are peace. In Matthew, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Like that other verse talked about, we need to do things with gentleness and respect. Jesus demonstrated for us again and again how to do that. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Let's get connected up with God. And then we can go into battle with total peace. We can go into battle with a clear conscience with respect, with gentleness, because we've been fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and then today's passage, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and all you've done and all you continue to do in our lives. Amen. Kathy would like to...